With us on the line now from the UK is Kate Watson-Smith, an award-winning journalist who's written extensively on interiors and design. Her acclaimed website, madabouttthehouse.com, founded in 2012, is officially the UK's number one interiors blog. She co-hosts The Great Indoors, the UK's most popular interiors podcast, and she's the author of several books, including her latest Mad About the House, 101 Interior Design Answers. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us. And it seems to me this is a great time with what's going on in the world for us to be looking at the inside of our houses and maybe thinking about making some changes.
It's definitely a good time for planning. As someone said to me the other day, many people will be seeing their houses in daylight for the first time in years. So I think one of the key things I always say to people when they're planning changes is you really need to work out what's wrong with the space you've got, because then you're already way ahead in working out how to put it right, what you want to do next. And so I think we've inadvertently ended up in a period when we really are going to be noticing what's wrong with our spaces, from too cluttered or the wrong colours or the flow through the rooms doesn't work. So this is absolutely the time to, it's not wasted, you know, write it down and work out, and then you can start thinking how to put it right.
And one of the things the book explains, one of the most important questions right at the beginning of the book is to kind of plan and ask yourself the questions like who, what, when, where, why and how, you know, look at the room that you want to change and work out what's wrong with it, what would make it better, why it would make it better, all those kind of things.
Well, I think what's key, I mean, those questions actually came, I'm a journalist by trade, and those are the sort of six key questions you must always ask before you write a news story. And what I realised was they work really well for interiors, because although we say, oh yes, you know, I live with my husband and two kids in my case, you really need to sort of interrogate who that is. And, you know, the requirements of a sitting room for a couple with a kid are very different from that same room for a couple of pensioners. So really look at, you know, who's going to be in that room and what they are going to be doing in there. You know, is it playing with toys? Is it just reading books, or is it watching television? So really drill into those questions, and that will help you get it right the first time, and then you won't have to do it again because it didn't work in a year's time.
And in your opinion, when it comes to interior design, how much of it should be about just personal taste, and how much of it should be about kind of fashion and trends?
It should all be about personal taste. But what I will say is that, you know, that we all get influenced, like it or not, by the fashion and trends. So you can start off, and I say to people, you know, you shouldn't follow trends just because it's a trend, but there will be trends that come along that you like. So by all means, you know, buy into those. And I think it's fun, for example, you know, there was a big trend for pineapples a couple of years ago. If you love that and it's fun and it makes you happy, have a pineapple cushion, because you can change that relatively easy. But don't necessarily, you know, put pineapple wallpaper all over your walls. So, you know, adopt with care, I think. But for the most part, you need to know what makes you happy for the long term and what you like.
Yes, it's a lovely kind of idea and concept to be able to go into a room in your house, or ideally every room in your house, and feel happy, you know, like the atmosphere, like your surroundings, you know, like the colour of the walls, all that kind of thing. It's a lovely feeling once you start kind of getting there with interiors.
I think one of the things I say to people who are a bit stuck with this is, you know, look at your wardrobe when you start, because if you are happy wearing those colours, you will be happy living in them. So, you know, if you're really stuck for inspiration and you're not sure, start with that, because, you know, dressing your house is in many ways like dressing yourself, and we're all sort of reasonably good at that. And, you know, I always say that your house isn't going to have a fat day or a hungover day or, you know, a tracksuit bottom and biscuit day. So, you know, it's much easier in many ways because you don't have to adapt it to moods, as it were. But if you look at those colours, and you can go a bit further, if you like, for example, quite plain clothes, you know, well-shaped. If you shop at COS or Arquette or some of those sort of global stores like that, then you probably like mid-century modern furniture, clean lines, a little bit minimal. If you prefer the sort of more boho look of Anthropology, you know, you probably love a pom-pom on a cushion. So be guided by your wardrobe as a starting point, and that should, you know, help you feel sort of happy with the rooms, because you've got a look to go for that you know you like.
That's great advice. The other thing other people will be obviously very conscious about is budget. You know, if people have got a massive pot of money, then they can go, you know what, let's redo our house. Then that's obviously a great situation to be in. But for people who are on a budget and would love to make changes but feel like they can't afford it, are there any kind of tips on how people can make changes relatively cheaply?
Totally. And firstly, for all those people with all the money they're throwing at it, they are often the ones that, because they've got so much money, they don't necessarily think it through. So they're more likely to get it wrong, in my opinion, than if you have got a smaller budget and you've got to think more carefully, because you really have to think about what you like. So first and foremost, the most transformative thing you can do is paint. And it's transformative and it's the most affordable. You know, that costs your time. And you know, to be fair, we've got some of that at the moment.
Yes.
So painting walls is a really good way to start. And I must just add, when it comes to painting walls, don't just assume that all the woodwork has to be white, because that's what your mother and the builder told you. You know, have a look at colours that complement the colour on the walls, in the same way you don't always wear a white T-shirt with everything you get dressed in. So, you know, you might want pale pink with your dark green walls, or a soft blue, you know, something that complements it. And the other thing is, with furniture now, again, paint, furniture paint, chalk paints, you can pick up furniture from eBay, from you know, IKEA, where it's all generic and it might all look the same. And you can paint it, so you end up with something totally bespoke that's unique to you. I mean, I wouldn't suggest painting your antiques, but sort of vintage furniture that's not worth anything, paint.
Yes. And cushions, you mentioned a cushion earlier with the pineapple cushion. Cushions are a great way to kind of add a bit of colour. And again, you can get relatively cheap cushions, depending on where you get them from, that can be changed. You know, if you decide to change the colour scheme, you can do a lot with the change of cushion covers.
Cushions are great. The other thing is, I remember years ago speaking to a Danish fashion designer, and she said that Danish people change their houses with the seasons, in that they might change sort of velvet and wool and cashmere cushions over in the summer to cotton and linen and lighter fabrics and also lighter colours. And that's a really great way for a refresh. You know, if you feel you don't want to throw your cushions out after a season, and you know, that's the wrong thing to do. But you can swap them over the seasons. And a cushion cover takes up no storage space. So you can just fold it up, put it in a drawer, bring out some different ones, and then swap them back over when the seasons change. And that way you feel like your room is altering, even if you're not sort of doing anything big and decorative and transformational.
How easy, again, in your opinion, how easy is it to kind of mix different genres and things like that in the house? As people, we, you know, we go through phases of, you know, our tastes change in terms of what we like. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to having maybe some items in their house that are quite antique-y or old-fashioned, but then loving more metallic, clean-line, modern items as well. And sometimes, I'm sure everybody's experienced this, going into other people's houses and having a bit of a nose, and sometimes you can see that people are sort of mixing and matching items like that, and it really works. But then other times you kind of go, oh no, this isn't working at all. How do you know whether it can work?
Well, I think it's a truth universally not quite acknowledged that a mid-century modern chair will go in any room, in any interior, with any style, because that style of furniture is very pared back and simple. So you can always put something like that in any space if you feel it's getting a bit too much. So if you've got lots of Victorian furniture or Georgian furniture, which is perhaps slightly more ornate, it's darker wood, something mid-century will always go in and it won't have a fight. The key, I think, in many ways is to mix things up, because it looks more like it's telling your story, telling the story of the people who live in that house, rather than just sort of add to cart all in one fell swoop. So the key to it is to look for tones of wood that perhaps all have a yellowy base or all have a pinky base. So you're linking wood, and then also link materials so that you might have, in an open plan space, if you've got a marble worktop, you might perhaps have a marble tray or a little marble candlestick in another part of the room, so that you're linking all those spaces together. And the sort of key mantra that I adopted some years ago, which really works, is something new, something old, something black, and something gold. And it doesn't have to be gold, but metallic, which will bounce the light around, make it feel a bit more luxurious. Something black will kind of ground the space. So, you know, you don't have to paint your walls black, but, for example, your picture frames could be black. And then something new, you know, there's always something new, whether it's a sofa or a mattress, and something old to bring the character, you know. It's lovely if it's something you've inherited from your granny, but it could just as well be somebody else's granny that you've picked up on eBay. So sticking to those kind of four rules in any space will instantly pull it together and make it feel sort of more cohesive. And then you can mix things up from periods and styles and colours within that.
Yeah, I like that. Good advice. Well, if people want more information, they can have a look on your website, as I mentioned, madabouthehouse.com. And yeah. Where can they find your podcast? Can they get that from the website as well?
There is a link on the website, just on one of the tabs, podcast, and that has all the episodes there. We've just finished series 6. And we are about to record this morning series 7, which we're doing remotely. So I've got a pile of cushions and a duvet I've got to sit under in about an hour's time.
Oh, well done.
But it's called The Great Indoors, and it's on all the places where you would normally find a podcast.
Fantastic. And the new book, Mad About the House, 101 Interior Design Answers, is available to buy on our website as well. Kate Watson-Smith, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you today.
Thank
I've got
you
some
so
great
much.
Tips from you. That's fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.